The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Greetings from David Lloyd, Stu Clarkson and me, Trevor Dan. It's the Radio Today program, episode 222. And in case you haven't noticed, the football season's back. But we've been thinking about how radio coverage has changed over the years. Once upon a time, football commentary was a staple of many, perhaps most, local stations every Saturday afternoon and a few weekday evenings. But as 5 Live and Talk Sport emerged, and then fixtures started to move around into Fridays and Saturday lunchtimes, and the local commercial stations became part of syndicated music services, well, commentary just isn't the draw it used to be. So to discuss the issue, I'm joined on the line by John Myers, former chairman and chief exec of the Radio Academy, who as head of Century FM in the 1990s, once spent £1 million to poach Manchester United commentary from Key 103. John, would you do that again if you were launching a new station?
I doubt I'd do it today because the football market has dramatically changed, hasn't it? You know, when we did that deal with Manchester United, and I remember going in, it's even in my book, Trevor, where I tell the story of going into Manchester United. It took me ages to get in there. But when I did manage to get in, I saw the chief exec there, Peter Kenyon, and I just said to him, look, give me a price. And he said £1 million for 4 years. And I just regarded that as marketing in those days because there was very little you could do in those days to physically move the dial. So when we were launching Century back in, my word, 1998, wasn't it? Something like crazy times. Sky TV had the football rights, but they were generally on a Saturday afternoon and they were the Monday night football programmes. That was it. And so you could buy football and you could physically see the audience graph move, what we famously used to call the penis on the page effect on a Saturday afternoon. So the audience would go up and, of course, you could sell that. But over the years, the way that Sky has taken control is quite remarkable, and the football games themselves, as you know, are on every hour of the day. And so there's no way now that a commercial radio station could buy football to physically move the dial, unless, of course, you're a full-time 24-hour football or sports station. But you can't get any increases in the audience graph, which means you struggle to sell it. So therefore, the value to commercial radio stations as far as football is concerned is really has been diminished over the years.
So Bauer dropped their West Midlands commentaries when they took over Free Radio, but then just this season they've announced that they've done an exclusive commentary deal, as they call it, with Hull City, and they're putting that on their medium wave station Viking 2. And what's the point of that?
Well, there's two reasons for that, isn't it? One is to get people to recognise that station, you know. So how do you get people to recognise the station? But Hull is in a part of the world, as you know, which is quite isolated, even though it is European City of the Year, etc., etc. But you go to Hull and you say to yourself, how do I get people to know that we're here? So you buy the football rights. It wouldn't have cost them a huge amount of money. They'll regard it as marketing spend, and they'll use that to try and move people from one station to another. Whether that will work, I very much doubt it. It won't work if you turn up for your first game and they can't broadcast it, by the way.
Yes, that was quite embarrassing.
It's quite embarrassing. I still don't understand how that happened.
What would you do if you were Radio Humberside, who used to have the rights and were broadcasting commentary on FM? Would you be worried? Would you lament the loss of football commentary?
I think it'll come back to them within a season or two. So I would work around that. I would look at the way your podcasts can be used these days. I've been looking at everything around the actual commentary. The fact is, as you know, is that on your phone, on Twitter, if you're in the Premiership, you can pretty much see all the goals. So these various sites are giving you the goals pretty much minutes after they happen. The lower leagues, then local radio requires local information, and local sport is very important to that. But if I was Humberside, I wouldn't worry too much. I know it's going to come back, but I would certainly focus about everything that's around the game. There's nothing to stop them doing a fantastic build-up. There's nothing to stop them having a great phone-in afterwards. There's nothing to stop them still doing their 30-second inserts. You can still own the game without the commentary. And I wouldn't be too worried about Humberside. I know that it would probably be coming back to me within a short time.
One thing I was thinking about was the balance of power, as it were, between particularly the BBC local stations and their local clubs, because they presumably still hand over money. But I wonder whether actually the clubs need the radio stations more than the radio stations need the commentary.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I actually think, and I've said this before to BBC Local Radio, that if you take, for example, you know, Radio Cumbria, they've got Carlisle United, you take a look, Hartlepools, the Barrows, the Barnsleys of this world, the York Cities and things like that, and you can go right around the country with the 40 local stations. You know, why BBC Local Radio pay so much money for commentary rights when commercial radio has clearly and made a significant point that they don't want them anymore is beyond belief. I guess, I've no idea, but I guess it's around about, say, $2 million a year that local radio pays for sports rights collectively. Actually, there's just no need. If I was running BBC Local, I would say, listen, we're going to tell the clubs we're very happy to cover sport, we're very happy to do commentary, but no way are we going to pay more than a token gesture in terms of commentary rights, because the football clubs these days often need the radio station as their mouthpiece as much as the radio station needs that content. Now, I don't think there's any need at all for BBC local radio stations in particular to be paying some of the money that they used to pay and are doing for some of these clubs.
We talked on this podcast recently to the people who were the Guardian's Football Weekly, who have, as it were, privatised themselves. And there's, as we know, a big growth in online just chat about football. I wonder whether we're seeing a stylistic shift here, whether actually people talking about the football is more interesting and more of a catch than actually just, you know, the traditional guy with the lip mic going bonkers when you've scored.
I think that's an interesting observation. I think you're right, Trevor. I think the world is changing. The commentary rights are still important, of course, but it's everything that goes on around the commentary which is gaining a lot more traction now. The podcasts are very important. The way that people can do things on podcasts that you could just never get away with on air. A lot of local stations now are investing in podcasts and investing in the sort of people that make that kind of audio come alive. And I think we're going to see an even greater surge of that over the next few years, especially when teams have got personalities. You know, if you've got personalities on the teams, if you've got interesting things going on with the teams, you've got all the off-field activities, which gets so much publicity, you can do more in a podcast and get away with a lot more on the podcast than you can do than on the air. So I do think commentary is still going to be important, probably not as valuable, but the things that go around it, as a number of stations have already proven, especially the new Five Live podcast that goes on, which is a very funny and interesting listen, and a lot of stations are doing that.
I'm wondering what you think of, for instance, Radio 5 Live's constant trailing that they've got all this sports commentary and some other stations haven't and so on. Is that the right way forward, do you think, from a marketing point of view?
Well, if you're the boss and you've spent millions of pounds getting these commentary rights, you want to be shouting about it, don't you? So you do want to promote it. It's pointless spending that amount of money on commentary rights and then allowing it to be a big secret. So you do want to talk about it, and you probably do want to go over the top about it. And football is about personalities and rivalries, isn't it? You know, it's you take a look at, you're an Arsenal fan. I'm a Carlisle United fan. We're at the other end of the spectrum, although at times...
Bad news for both of us.
At times you can't tell the difference between the football. but it is the personalities around it that make it. And I do think if you've got a really good commentator, like if you take a look at the sad loss of Ali Brownlee, who was the commentator for so long for Middlesbrough Football Club. He was very much part of the club and very much part of the fans. And his broadcasts were legendary, and he's a sad loss. There are a number of radio stations that have well-known commentators who people regard as a real central part of the club and what they do. But you're right. Look, a lot of the promotion is over the top, but I take the view it's all part of the of the hype of football. But I do think Sky TV, while they've paid millions and have transformed the game, I'm not sure, Trevor, that it's all been for the positive side of the football.
All right, John, thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I guess we'll see you at maybe the Arias.
You will indeed. Look forward to it.
Excellent. Thank you, John Myers. And here's Stu Clarkson with this week's news.
Thank you, Trevor. This week, the nominations have been revealed for two new awards at the Arias this year. The Radio Academy's Board of Trustees has put together a shortlist of six for Individual of the Year and a shortlist of six for Team of the Year. Academy members will vote to pick the winner, which will be announced at the Arias in Leeds in October. Nominated for Individual of the Year are Kelly Weil from Seven Digital, Maria Williams from Loftus Media, Matt Deegan from Folder Media, TBI Media's Phil Critchlow, Siobhan Kenny from Radio Centre and Absolute and Magic's Tony Morey. Team of the Year, meanwhile, is between Five Live News, Gurkha Radio, Key 103, Local Radio Day, One Love Manchester and Radio Centre. You can vote online at radioacademy.org. BBC Radio cricket pundit Geoffrey Boycott's not being dropped by Test Match Special after apologising for unacceptable comments during a Q&A event last weekend. The BBC says he said sorry and acknowledged the remarks were clearly wrong, so remains part of the team. As we get nearer Radio 1 and Radio 2's 50th anniversaries, the BBC's announced more schedule plans for the big day itself on the 30th of September. Radio 2 will do a live OB from the Manchester Apollo between 8 at night and 2 in the morning. It'll feature soul, funk and disco acts introduced by presenters Trevor Nelson, Craig Charles and Animatronic. The UK's longest-running annual RSL has ceased broadcasting after nearly 24 years. Blackburn Rovers ran the Premier League's first football club radio station, Radio Rovers, from 1993, with a specially adapted 28-day licence allowing the club to broadcast every home match on medium wave and later online. It's the first season since 1993 now that the station hasn't gone on air. Paddy McGuinness is ending his Sunday morning show on the Bauer Big City One network after almost 3 years to concentrate on TV projects. His last show's this week on Sunday the 27th, with Wes Butters taking over the following Sunday. Alex Lester's going regional with a new show across five stations in the Midlands. He'll do Saturday nights from next month on BBC WM, BBC Coventry and Warwickshire, BBC Hereford and Worcester, BBC Radio Shropshire and BBC Radio Stoke. This is in addition to Alex's weekday breakfast show on BBC WM. And Digital Radio UK's Doing the Dab event is heading to Cardiff next. The free event in partnership with the Radio Academy and Radio Today will discuss digital radio across South Wales on the evening of Thursday, the 5th of October. Ticket details are online at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stuart Clarkson. David Lloyd will be here with his toe in the archives as ever after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
From Luxie to Radio 3, 100 years of history. These are David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
It's 20 years this week since the death of one of the most famous voiceovers.
Brett Allen, Clark Davis, 1440, Dave Wilson. Tony McHugh, Graham Clifford, 1049.
Monroe Jack, Spreading Sunshine on 303.
Bill Mitchell, and there was a time when everybody wanted a name check from him.
With David Lloyd.
Ah, yes. Bill was a Canadian. He arrived in the UK in the 1950s, gravitating to Soho, finding occasional acting work, and then voiceovers as advertisers started to inject a little more character into their advertising. One of his first deals was for Pan Am. He did Carlsberg as well when Orson Welles became too expensive, but I suspect this one was one of his best remembered.
Every girl likes to give a man something special at Christmas. Denim, aftershave, deodorant, shaving foam, soap or talc.
When I was about 12 years old and my voice was changing, I got the mumps. I actually used to be a coloratura. And I was silent for approximately 3 weeks. That's how I took up drinking, really. Because
I used to talk like... I can't do it anymore.
It's injurious. And my voice changed at the same time I got the mumps. So I was silent for about 3 weeks, and then suddenly I opened my mouth, and this came out. This is one of those commercials for...
Farewell, Bill Mitchell, 20 years ago this week. It's the 50th anniversary year of BBC Local Radio. The original experiment was for 8 stations, including one rural one, which lasted just 4 years.
Today is a very sad day for BBC Radio Durham. It's their last day of broadcast, and if you're listening up in the Durham area, you're probably more likely than not on VHF listening to Radio Durham. Well, it's closing down today, as you probably know only too well, and shutting up shop for about a year before the new radio station, BBC Radio Carlisle, opens up, I suppose, in about a year's time. Well, now you're about to leave us and do your own thing up in Durham, so let me hand you over to Eric Wilde.
Thanks very much, Peter Donaldson, and indeed it is my privilege to be with you on this very last morning. So what do I say? But good morning, this is BBC Radio Durham opening up for the very last time on 94.5 VHF and Rediffusion.
BBC Radio Durham, which had opened in 68, closing this week in 72 as BBC Radio Carlisle took over, later Cumbria. It was the only one of the original stations to close down. 19 years ago, Capital had just acquired XFM in London. It had been a proud indie station, the brainchild of Sammy Jacob. Capital closed it down this week in 98, moving it into Leicester Square and relaunching it as a softer rock format with the ad campaign, XFM, Don't Be Afraid.
Hiya, morning, it's 14 minutes past six, this is 104.9 XFM. Breakfast for Tuesday across London with The Verve, Drugs Don't Work from the Urban Hymns album. On the way for you, the fantastic single from Rocket from the Crypt.
104.9. Go ahead. XFM
becomes capitalised this week in 1998. It's now Radio X. 2017 sees the 50th anniversary of the law which closed most of the offshore pirate stations. Radio Caroline famously defied the law, but that ship sank in 1980. The station returned on a new vessel this week, 34 years ago.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Radio Caroline on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. I'm Tom, and for the next hour, I'd like to take you on a couple of musical journeys through the past 2 decades. We're going to start with The Zombies and She's Not There, and follow that with The Yardbirds with Heart Full of Soul. Caroline on 319.
Welcome home to Caroline. So with Blue Danube Radio launching in Vienna 38 years ago, home to so many British presenters.
This is Blue Danube Radio from our studios in Vienna, broadcasting on 102.5 FM.
And John Inverdale hosting his final sport on Radio 2 before it moved to the new Radio 5 27 years ago.
We must stress that today is not the beginning of the end. It's more the end of the beginning. Radio 5 arrives on Monday. We become Sport on 5 next Saturday.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments! Thank you, David Lloyd, also Stuart Clarkson and John Myers, and you for listening. Next week we'll be at Fix Radio to find out whether the new DAB station is nailing it. Their slogan, not mine. I've been Trevor Dan. This has been a TDC production for Radio Today. See you soon.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.